you have seen people do weird things, weird stuff. I mean, you know, you don't have to go too far away. You go on social media, you go somewhere, and you wonder, you see what they do, and you have, you cannot help but say, like, what were you thinking? You know, I mean, all of us, we have done that. The people's like, what are you thinking in doing that? I just saw somebody posted on social media, this guy, there was a pool of alligators, young ones. He got in there and began to move them around as he was walking around. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of drug are you using, man? I mean, seriously, what are you thinking? How, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You've seen down on the right, a lot of fans, I don't know if it is a dare competition, they say they jump into the field to be tackled by security and then arrested. And you and I wonder, what were they thinking? We don't get it. That guy was swimming with the alligator and he made the news. I guess he just thought the alligator was going to come and talk to him. You know, and it's like, what do you think was going to happen? You know, so we've seen those moments. Perhaps you and I have been the recipient, or perhaps we are the ones doing things that people say, what were you expecting? Mothers always tell the kids, what do you think was going to happen? What were you thinking? You see, when someone does something unusual or out of the ordinary, we question their sanity, don't we? We question if they are in the right mind. Now it's interesting because when you look at the ministry of Jesus when he came to earth, and he began to, you know, the Gospel of Mark, you start reading Mark 1, 2, and 3, and then there's John the Baptist introducing Jesus to the world, saying, hey, somebody greater than I is coming. And so Jesus began to preach the gospel. Jesus' first sermon was, repent, the kingdom of God is near. And a lot of people began to follow Jesus, a lot of fans. And, you know, and everywhere Jesus went, a lot of people were following him. But you and I need to understand something. Like, what do you suppose people thought about Jesus? See, during his ministry, everybody had a different opinion about Jesus. For instance, the crowds, the multitude of people, they thought, they saw Jesus as a prophet, as a healer, miracle worker, also as a great teacher. That's what the crowd thought of Jesus. Now, you were to ask the religious leaders, what did they think of Jesus? They thought he was demon-possessed. In fact, they thought Jesus was operating by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They also thought that Jesus was drunker, glutton, because he went to a lot of parties, and he hung out with people that nobody else would choose to hang out with. They also thought that Jesus was cuckoo, out of his mind. Now, perhaps you never thought, you read the Bible, you think, oh, everybody loves Jesus, right? Everybody, Jesus is such a great guy. Nobody has any different opinion about Jesus. But when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you look at the gospel accounts, you see so many different opinions about Jesus. And it makes you wonder why he said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Have you thought about, because everyone, oh, he's a prophet. Oh, he's a teacher. No, he's demon-possessed. He's insane. He lost it. And so, you see, people might have the wrong picture of Jesus. You see, people that you meet, you and I need to understand this, they will always have an opinion about you. They will base that opinion based on what they see or what they hear about you. But that does not mean that their opinion is right about you. Because their opinion of the people had in the time of Jesus did not quite tell us Jesus' identity. It does not do justice to who truly Jesus was. You see, people's opinion may change over time, just like we see that some of these people changed their opinion that they had about Jesus from the beginning. Now, the thing that I found in the text, you see, I told you people's opinion about Jesus. Now, check this out. Have you ever wondered what Jesus' own family thought about him? Have you ever thought about what Mary and Jesus' brothers and sisters thought about him? Because, you know, we all come from a family, and we might have somebody that, you know, might not get along with us. In the family, everybody has their own opinions about you. Mom, dad, kids, uncles, aunts, they all have formulated an opinion. Have you ever wondered what Jesus' family thought about himself? I found some evidence in the text, Mark chapter 3. Like I said, this is the context. Jesus just got done picking up the apostles. He got disciples. He selected 12 apostles, and they're going with him. He was going all the way from Jerusalem, Judea, by the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus went from south and went north. His town where he grew up is Nazareth. That's why he was known, Jesus of Nazareth. So Nazareth is west of the Sea of Galilee. So Capernaum is in that region. So Jesus spent a lot of time in there. So now that he's doing the preaching and people are following him, he finally decides to go home. Jesus goes home, and mom and brothers and sisters are there. By the way, there are some religious groups that tell you that Jesus didn't have it, that Mary didn't have any more kids. According to the Bible, she did. Jesus was the firstborn. That's why he's known as the firstborn child of Mary. She had other kids, and you're going to see that in the text also. So go with me to Mark chapter 3 so that you see the context of what's going on with Jesus and his relatives. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35, it says, "And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here's my mother and my brother and my brothers. But whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" So, literally, Jesus' mom, Mary, and his brothers, because he's in Nazareth, he's in the hometown, they heard that he was around there, so they went. They wanted to have a word with Jesus. And you read that text, and you don't look at the context. You wonder, why do they want to speak with Jesus? He's busy. He's preaching. There's a lot of people. He's crowded by so many people. So his mother, Mary, and his brother came, and they stayed outside. They could not even enter the house. That's not unusual, because you know that wherever Jesus went, remember one time the story that they had a paralytic outside, and they had to open a hole through the roof because there were so many people, nobody could enter. So this is the context too, that Mary and the brothers of Jesus, by the way, one of the brothers was James. James is in here, and Jacob, or Joseph. And so they're looking for Jesus because they wanted to have a word with him. Now, you and I may ask, why were they looking for Jesus? They knew exactly what he was doing. He's been preaching, healing, casting out demons. He's been doing all that. Everyone knew what Jesus was doing, and his fame was growing and increasing day by day. Now, you want to know why they were looking for Jesus? Let me give you the answer. Go back with me now, verse 20 and 21 of the same text. Verse 20 and 21 says, "And he," this is Jesus, "he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat." "And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, 'He's out of his mind.'" are you getting this now? You see, Jesus is so busy, man. And he says that the crowd was around, that they did not even have time to eat. If you read one of those more modern versions, they did not even have time to eat. You know how it is. Sometimes you're going from here to there, and like, you're so busy and preoccupied with things, you don't even have time to eat. When his family heard that, they say that they went out to seize him. They were there to take custody of Jesus, to stop him from hurting himself, apparently. Because, you know, how is it that you're so busy, you're doing all that, and you're not eating? Mm-mm. Not in my house. Kind of like Mary said, "Oh, I'm taking my boy. You gotta eat." And so it says that they went out to seize Jesus. Another word for that, to take hold of him. Now, go with me for real. Why? Because they were saying, "He's out of his mind." So why is Jesus out of his mind? And based on the family opinion, because of what he was doing. You're doing all this work and you not even have time to eat? Yeah, you gotta be crazy. You gotta be insane. He's out of his mind. That's what he says. Those two verses tell you. Jesus went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to grab him, to take him home with them, to seize him, for they were saying, he lost his mind. Now, this is early in Jesus' ministry, and this is what the family already thought about him because of the context. You know, like I said, people will formulate opinions about you based on what you're doing, based on what they see or hear about you. And it's like whatever Jesus is doing, they understood, it's like, oh man, this is crazy, man. He lost his mind. You see, Jesus' mother and brothers, they came to put an end to whatever it is they were doing because they understood, humanly speaking, they realized, you're going to hurt yourself. You're doing, and you don't even take a break and eat. I mean, come on, man. Now, from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you see, you and I need to understand, his family did not quite understand Jesus' mission and purpose in life. You and I need to also understand, his brothers did not believe in Jesus like the rest of the people. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah at the beginning. So there are a lot of mixed emotions with Jesus. And, you know, I mean, at one time in the Gospel of John, the brothers suggested to Jesus, if you want to be somebody great, go to the party and show yourself to the world. Like, they did not quite get Jesus. You see, they might have the wrong picture of Jesus, like many of us might have. When we don't know Jesus that well, you formulate whatever. You know, here it's like he lost his mind because forget about he's healing people, he's helping people, but he's not eating. You know, you know how it is. Sometimes you and I find ourselves trying to help out Jesus, right? He's going to need our help. And so they did not get the reason why he did certain things. And it makes you also wonder why Jesus did not spend a lot of time in Nazareth. He would go Galilee, Capernaum, Judea, and occasionally he would come home. Makes you wonder that. Now, one of the things that I struggled with when I was reading this, and here's a buzzing noise, really. If there was ever a person that truly would know Jesus, if there was ever a person in the first century during this time that would truly know who Jesus was, who do you think that person would be? His mom, right? His mom. Mary would totally understand who Jesus was and why he came to do. Why? Let me take you back into history. Mary, she was planning a wedding. She was a virgin. An angel showed up and said, you're going to have a baby. Remember that? We tell that on Christmas. And you are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus, because he will be great and God will give him the throne of his father David and his reign will never end. That's the news that comes to Mary. You're going to have a baby. And then she said, I'm willing, Lord. So she has Jesus. You know, they said he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, and they gave him the name Jesus. The same day he was born, Mary has some visitors, strange people she never met before, called shepherds. They were out there. An angel showed up to them and told them, hey, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Jesus, and you're going to find him in a manger wrapped in cloths. So all of a sudden, they go to Bethlehem, find Mary and the baby, and what do? They bow down to that baby. Imagine you as a mother, people showing up, and now they're paying homage to the baby, bowing down to him, worshiping your baby. I mean, as a mother, you're going to think like, man, what kind of baby I have? This is like a special baby. Shepherds showed up to worship because they had a vision of angels, just like I had a vision of angels to tell me about this child. Fast forward 2 years later, they're no longer there. They're in a house. She had more visitors from the Middle East. Remember the story of the Magi? They came looking for the king of the Jews, and they presented Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and bowed down to the child Jesus again. I love because Luke tells us that in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's almost like she was just keeping all these things that people were saying about Jesus and pondering them in her heart. Imagine, I mean, Mary knew exactly who Jesus was and what he will do in the future, because that's what the angels told him. When he was through the Magi came, when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover. And you know, it's interesting because there were so many people that day at the feast, and Mary and Joseph went home, and they went without Jesus. He got lost at the temple. Now, you and I don't understand because we travel as family, but in those days, the guys would go on one side, and the men and the women would go on another side. And so Mary probably thought Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was with Mary. They get together one place. Where's Jesus? Jesus is missing. He's 12 years old. Imagine the panic. It's like, oh, where's the baby? They go back to the temple, and they found Jesus debating and talking with the teachers of the law, asking them questions. So Mary got a little upset with Jesus, like, why are you doing this to us, son? Listen to what Jesus responded to her. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 through 51. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went home, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And check it out, the text again. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. All the things, all the information about Jesus, she's like, wow, like she knew. Like I say, if there was somebody that truly knew who Jesus was, it would have been his mom. Because all the evidence that she had, messages from angels, and Jesus now, don't you know that I had to be in my father's business, in my father's house? Jesus is 30 years old. He gets baptized by the Jordan River, and the moment he was 30, he began his ministry. So what we're talking about, this has happened right there after the baptism of Jesus. He goes and pray and select disciples, the apostles. He began preaching and goes and healing people and teaching in the synagogue and casting out demons, but he wasn't eating. And then words got to Mary and the brothers that Jesus wasn't eating, and now they come to put an end to whatever he was doing. Like I said, Mary should have known what Jesus was all about. Now, she came with Jesus' brothers. Now, you know, we don't want to speculate things, but I always think about the brothers probably told Mary, if I were to make a movie of this, they would have said, you know, mom, you know he listens to you. You gotta come with us. Come with us. Even if you don't say a word, come with us, and we do the talking. But we have to stop him. He's gonna hurt himself. He's not even eating. Can you imagine? He's doing all that, not even time to rest. But you gotta come with us, mom. And so Mary says, okay, I go, because I'm thinking maybe she should have told James and the other brothers, like, this is what he came to do. Remember in John chapter 2, when Jesus does the first miracle, turning the water into wine, they ran out of wine, and who comes to Jesus? Mary goes, they ran out of wine. Remember what Jesus told her? What does it have to do with me? My time has not yet come. And then he didn't even say, mom. He said, what does it have to do with me, woman? You might have thought Jesus was being disrespectful to his mom right there. But Mary knew exactly what he was talking about. But then why is she coming now with the brothers to seize Jesus, to stop him? Because what they heard, that he wasn't eating. And you know, as a mother, I gotta feed my baby. You know, oh man, you know. So he's surrounded by people and have no time to eat. That's what they say, he lost his mind. You see, Jesus did not succumb to the family request. Go back with me now to the text, verse 31 through following. Notice that they send for Jesus. Hey, somebody in the house says, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to have a word with you. Do you think that Jesus had a word with his mom and his brothers? According to the text, he didn't. He ignored them. Because look what he says. Verse 33, and he answered them, who is my mother and my brother? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Your mother and brothers are seeking you. And then Jesus looked around those and said, who's my mother and my brothers? Now, you knew that people that he was talking to, because we're talking about Nazareth, everyone knew exactly who Jesus' mom and brothers were. But he's teaching people something deep here. He said, who's my mother and my brothers? And looking around the people around him, he says, here's my mother and my brothers and my sister. Those who follow Jesus were doing the will of God. Jesus said, whoever does the will of God is my family. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and my brothers and my sisters. He says, and so why is he looking around at those? Because they were already doing the will of God. How do I know that? How is it? Well, first, you need to understand, like, they following Jesus. To follow Jesus is to do the will of God. God's will is that people will follow Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to do the will of God. To sit down and listen to Jesus' teaching and to absorb that teaching and also to put that in practice is to do the will of God. And so what do you think he looks at those around them, because they were doing the will of God. They were with Jesus. They were following him. They were believing in him. They were also paying attention to his teaching so that they can put him into practice. He said, whoever does the will of God is my family, is my mother and my sisters and my brother. Now, please don't misunderstand that he disregard his mom and dad. No, he's talking about a bigger family here than just blood family, the relatives that you have. You and I need to understand this. You see, in that passage, sometimes your own family may come against God's will for you. I say that again. Sometimes you and I need to watch, because your own family, your blood family, might not be doing God's will for you, or might not understand why you do certain things for God. Like, you have family that they're not believer in Jesus. They had no idea why you want to go to church, why you always talking about Jesus. They had no idea, and they would not understand why you want to spend time or money to help people and do things in church. So Jesus' family did not understand why he was doing certain things. So you and I need to see that sometimes your own family might come against you in terms of you doing God's will, just like they did. Mary and the brothers, they're not doing God's will right now, because they tried to stop Jesus from ministering to people. Isn't that amazing? His own family thought that he was out of his mind, and they want to stop him. Jesus did not listen to them. Why? Because at that moment, they were not operating under God's will. And you and I need to understand, we have families and friends, husband and wife. Sometimes they might tell you to do something that will go against God's will. And at that moment, our responsibility will be not to listen to them. Jesus did not listen to Mary and the brothers. He said, hey, they want to have a word with you. Did he have a word with them? He just looked at people around and said, who's my brother? Who's my mother and my brothers? Who you guys are. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and my sister and my brother. These people were doing God's will, but Jesus' family at this moment in time, they did the will of the Lord later on. And Mary did it to have the Messiah be born through her. But at this moment in the ministry of Jesus, they were not doing the will of God, and Jesus recognized that. Because whoever does the will of God is my, you guys are doing it. So when someone that you know, anyone that would encourage you to do something against God's purpose and will, don't listen to them, even if they're family, even if they are husband and wife. Let me give another example. Somebody who was stepped outside of the will of God. One of Jesus' greatest friends, Peter. Why do you think Jesus had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan? And then he says, you are a stumbling block to me, Peter. You're going to make me trip. He said, you don't have in your head and your things the things of God, but the things of man. In other words, translation, you are not operating by God's will, but by human will, by your will. And at that moment, my responsibility is not to listen to you. So, Jesus, yes, family, I love you, but my job is to do the will of the Father, Jesus would say to them. And that's why my families are those who do the will of God. And the will of God is that anybody who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. The will of God is that you and I, as we, now that we're followers of Christ, that we continue to learn and become disciples so that we can also make other disciples. That is God's will for you and I. That we apply the things that we learn from Jesus. Just like these people, they went around Jesus, they're following him, they're listening to his teaching. because they believed in him. You see, my friends, you and I belong to a bigger family than what you thought. We have a huge family. Just because we have faith, we have believed in Jesus, and that makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do you think that they use that, those terms? To the brothers and sisters in Christ, we are part of a family. Brothers and sisters from a different mother, from different, you know, with the same father. So it's, that's who we are because of Jesus. We belong to a heavenly heavenly family. You see, those who do the will of God, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So you and I can be part of God's family by our faith, by belief in Jesus. That's what Galatians talks about. So you all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, that clothe yourself with Christ. We are part of a bigger family because we have trusted Christ. We have been baptized into his name, and we continue to learn more about him. And he said, we're doing the will of God. Jesus said, he's my mother, he's my sister, he's my brother. They are my family. Interesting, Jesus already said that everyone can be part of the family. All that they had to do is believe in him. Believing him as the Savior, as the one whom God sent to rescue us. In John 1, I think verse 12, he says, he came to his own people, talking about Jesus. He came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. But to those who believe in his name, he gave him the right to be made children of God. Who are the children of God? Those who believed in him. You know, sometimes people say, oh, we are all children of God. Not biblically speaking, we are all creation of God. But to be made children of God, you have to have faith in Jesus. That's the adoption paper right there. To be adopted, in fact, the Bible talks about that we've been adopted into God's family by our faith in Christ, by our trust, by our belief in Jesus. That's what makes us family of Christ, family of God, and heirs of all the glorious things that he has in store for his people. So no, not everyone is a child of God. Now, a child of God, you know, biblically speaking, is those who believe in Jesus. We are all creation of God, but to be made a son and daughter of the King, it says that you had to have faith in Christ. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers and my sister? Whoever does the will of God. And what is God's will for his people? That anybody who looks to Jesus will have life. That anybody who believes in the Son will never die. Because God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And you keep on reading in John 3, 36, I think it is. It says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not believe in the Son will not see life because God's wrath remains on him. Jesus, believing in him is what makes that possible, makes the difference that now you and I can be partaker of God's family. And whatever it is, the heavenly family that you and I are part of, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you have not even met yet, all because they also chose to believe in Jesus like you and I have chosen. And Jesus said, they are my brothers and my mother and my sister, my true family, my spiritual family right there. My friends, you and I need a spiritual family that we can continue growing and learning more about Jesus so that we continue to strive to do his will. Your faith in Jesus makes you his family. I think you belong to the greatest family in the world. This family is out of this world, by the way. Heavenly family because of our faith in Christ. You see the importance of believing in Jesus. He came to rescue us and to change our status from enemies of God to family. To family. And you see that theme in so many of the movies you watch sometimes. I mean, you know, the Fast and the Furious is all about family. And they do all these things together. And that's why he says, salud, mi familia. So, and you and I are a family, even though we might speak different languages, we might not look the same, we have different social status, we might even have different political parties, but we're still family. Because you know what makes that possible? Faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the most important thing, that I think the greatest legacy that we can give our kids, that they understand that you, all of us, can be part of Jesus' family, because he says all we have to do is do the will of God. And God's will is that we believe in Jesus, that we give our lives to him. And so that will make you and I brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that amazing? So as a family of God, let's continue to learn more about Jesus, so that we don't have the wrong picture of Jesus, like so many of these people have these days. So we get to know exactly who he is. That's why he asked the disciples at one time, who do people say that I am? And the disciples told Jesus the opinion of the day. Or some people think you are a prophet, like Elijah or Jeremiah. And then Jesus finally said, but who do you say that I am? And he's going to ask you and I personally, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well done, Peter. And so those disciples began to preach until Jesus repent. Salvation is found in no one else, Peter said, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. And you see, God's not only saving us, he's making us part of a family. And you know what it is? In case you didn't know, you already have an inheritance. Not on this earth, huge inheritance, just because you're part of his family. I mean, I cannot even put into words this, how glorious this thing will be. That's why Paul says nothing can compare really what's coming in terms of like what the Lord has prepared for those who believe in him, for those who love him. All right, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm done. Remember, if you do the will of the Father, you are Jesus' family. Would you pray with me this morning?